Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q4 2012 Investor Conference Call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Michael Kuta. Please go ahead, Mr. Kuta.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q4 2012 Investor Conference Call of Amerigo Resources Ltd. on Thursday, February 28, 2012. 13. Sorry. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued yesterday morning and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. We undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now, I would like to introduce our President and CEO, Dr. Klaus Zeitler.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning, good afternoon. First, I'd like to introduce also the people who are with me here. Rob Henderson, our Chief Operating Officer, and Aurora Davidson, our Chief Financial Officer. Any questions in that field can be answered by them. I will just give a short introduction, and then Rob and Aurora will talk in more detail about the operational and financial results. 2012 was a strange year for Amerigo. We had record production both in copper and in molybdenum. We surpassed our target of 50 million pounds of copper. In fact, it was over 51 million pounds. And for the first time, we also achieved more than 1 million pounds of molybdenum. So from the production point of view, the year was a very good year. We also had good operating cash flow. However, our earnings were negative. One of the main reasons for the negative earnings were two one-off items. The one is the bonus payment for signing a four-year labor contract, which cost us almost $5 million, and a re-rating of the severance payment provision for our Chilean employees, which had a one-time effect of about over $2 million. Yeah. So if you take these two items out, we almost are at a break-even net earnings situation in 2012. Payment to the workers for the new union contract, of course, gives us labor peace for the next 4 years. And that, of course, is a very important aspect which has to be considered. The other reason why the results were not as anticipated, as good as anticipated, were the difficult mining conditions in Colivas, and we refer that in our press release. What that means is we are at this stage on the bottom of one of the section of the Colivas tailings, and it makes mining there much more difficult than in the higher up sections. We are also very far away from the pumping station, and that requires a significant additional work to make sure that the tailings flow to the pumping station. In the fourth quarter alone, we had expenditures which were about $700,000 higher than, for instance, in Q3, and they were significantly higher than budgeted. This condition will continue for a few months in this year, but then we will move to a new section of Colivas, and we think that costs at that point will come down again. The other important factor, and we mentioned that in every call we had, of course, are the high power costs. And power costs in Chile are extremely high. They are probably nowadays the highest. They are certainly the highest in South America, if not one of the highest in the world. And that, of course, had a significant effect. And the last effect on the results also was the reduction in the price of copper in 2012 compared to 2011. That alone had an effect of $15 million less revenue. If you use the same amount of production both years, of course, as I said, in 2012 we had higher production. So that's a summary of 2012. We expect 2013 to be significantly better, based on mainly three items. One, the one-off items will not recur. Secondly, the power costs will be significantly lower. As we said in our press release, in January they were half of the cost of January 12th. And the third is that we will have significantly less reinvestments. The last 2 years, 2011 and 2012, were very high investment years, and this program has now come to an end, and we see normal replacement investment of a much, much lower figure. So that's my general comments. Rob, if you could enhance some of the operational results.
Thank you, Klaus. Copper production at MVC in Q4 2012 was 13.6 million pounds, and molybdenum production was 290,000 pounds. These are increases of 6% and 49% respectively over the Q4 2011 levels. This great achievement by the team at MVC resulted in Amerigo exceeding its 2012 guidance and setting new annual production records of 51.7 million pounds of copper and 1.1 million pounds of molybdenum. The outlook for 2013 is that production is expected to be between 45 and 50 million pounds of copper and 1 million pounds of molybdenum. We are moving to a new area in Kaliwis, which, as Klaus mentioned, is going to be lower in costs, but it also is lower in grade, and hence the slightly lower guidance in copper output for 2013. The cash cost for Q4 2012 was $2.56 per pound of copper, which was lower than the Q3 cost and lower than the Q4 2011 cash cost. For the year 2012, cash cost was $2.48 per pound of copper. This is an increase of 3% over the 2011 costs, and mainly as a result of the MVC labor signing bonuses. Power costs at 98 cents per pound of copper remained at historically high levels. Total operating cost for 2012 was $3.64 per pound of copper produced. The outlook for 2013 is that cash costs is expected to be between $1.95 and $2.15 per pound. This is significantly lower than what we did last year, primarily as a result of the lower power price that we have for 2013. And I'll hand you over to Aurora to talk about finance.
Sure. Thanks, Rob and Kyle. I think that the best way to look at Amerigo in 2012 from a financial viewpoint is in terms of cash flow, because at the end of the day, that's the real story of how the company is doing. And the three components of cash flow have interesting things to say about our operations. First, even at power costs that were really high, 19 cents per kilowatt hour, or as Rob mentioned, 98 cents per pound, which translated into an annual power cost of $51 million, our operations were still cash flow positive, and we generated cash flow of approximately $12 million. Our power costs have changed dramatically this year under the new contract terms with our power provider. And as we mentioned in the news release, we're pleased to report that in January, our kilowatt-hour costs are half of what they were in January 2012. This will have a significant impact on operating cash flow this year. Also, as we mentioned in our Q3 and annual reports, in 2012, we paid almost $5 million for labor signing bonuses, which occurs every 4 years. Therefore, I think it would be fair to say that despite the effect of high power costs, normalized cash flow from operations in 2012 at Amerigo MVC was roughly $17 million. If we look at our investing cash flow, 2012 and for that matter 2011 were capital intensive years for the company. In 2012, CapEx was close to $24 million, and in 2011, it was $21 million, a total of $45 million in plant expansion in 2 years, including CapEx that has been critical to advance the company's discussions to expand its operations to new tailing deposits. Finally, in terms of financing cash flow, the company paid $7 million in dividends in each of 2012 and 2011 and made debt repayments of $13 million combined in the 2 years. The company is essentially debt-free, with only $1.5 million of debt outstanding, which will be repaid according to schedule by May of this year. All of the above combined resulted in a lower than usual cash position of $9 million at the end of 2012, which is expected to improve in 2013. We are very positive about the operational forecast that Rob has presented earlier and how our new power supply terms and reduced levels of sustaining capital should translate into strong financial and cash flows in 2013.
Thank you, Rob and Aurora. So we are now open for questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. To ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad, and should you wish to cancel your question, press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause by the participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Brian Post of Newport Beach. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Two questions, if I may. The first is on the royalty. I noticed that the Q4 El Teniente royalty climbed up disproportionately to the copper price. Is that primarily due to Forex, or what are the any sort of change in the underlying mechanics there that we need to know about?
Our royalty in Q4 was $12.4 million, and we basically have to pay the royalty on average LME prices.
Okay.
And that's one of the factors. We had high production in the quarter. We had high, strong LME prices in the quarter, and we also have the effect of especially, well, mostly in our tailings, fresh tailings royalty contract, of having to pay the royalty in the higher of two existing foreign exchange rates. And in this case, the combined effect of that additional factor in the fresh tailings represented about $5 million in the year, and there was a strong influence of that in Q4.
Okay, and then looking forward to the comments you made in the release about the planned expansion. You've got environmental permitting submitted for review. I assume that pending that, the engineering will come. Can you provide us any color on the underlying negotiations with Codelco? Are they contingent upon getting some of those documents completed, or you know, what is the status of those talks?
No, I don't think they are contingent on getting first the environmental approval, even though we are expecting to get environmental approval for the new tailings pond sometime during the summer. But the two things are independent.
Okay. Are you in a position to be able to give us any update on the status of the agreement talks?
Yeah, we feel that we are making real good progress. We made real good progress last year when we were talking directly to Codelco rather than to El Teniente. And unfortunately, when we were almost at a stage where we had basically agreement, we had the decision of the Supreme Court in Chile, which went against us with respect to mining royalty payments to the state. That had a deleterious effect on our discussions, which we had at that time with Codelco, because according to this law and according to the Supreme Court decision, where we now have to pay this mining royalty, we are classified as a small miner. And small miners, the classification of small miners goes to up to a production of 50,000 tons per year. So on that basis, we are paying a minute amount of mining royalty to the state. However, if we would be in a joint venture type arrangement with Codelco, we would be considered just like Codelco or any of the other large producers, a large producer. And the royalty would be significantly higher. The difference would be somewhere between 5 and 6% of the earnings. And that put a wrench into the discussions which we had at that time. So now we are looking for another formula how to come to an arrangement. And I must say that these discussions are going very well so far.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The following question is from Anthony Canton of Tinson Fold. Please go ahead.
To follow up on Brian's question, this 5 or 6% increase, would that be on earnings or on revenues or on production? Of how would that be calculated if you had a joint?
No, it's basically on earnings.
Okay, 5 or 6% on earnings in addition to what you would otherwise be paying.
Right, and therefore the route we were going at that point was not possible because, of course, we said to Codelco that they would have to keep us whole on that. And of course, from their side, that didn't make any sense either. So that's why we are looking for a new formula how to continue our cooperation.
I mean, since you're negotiating a new contract, is there any way that you could, because you know, it's not fair to Amerigo and Amerigo shareholders that in the price of copper, I know that you have a sliding scale, but it's very favorable to Codelco in terms of how much you pay per pound. Even though you guys make very little, they still make a hefty sum of money on every pound of copper that you produce. Is there any way that you could, are you planning to change that in terms of the formulary, how you calculate the royalties on?
Well, we'd like to, but I think it would be very difficult to achieve that.
What I'm saying is that in the past 3 years, they've been making quite a bit of money on your production, but you have been producing, you know, small amounts compared to the royalties that you're paying.
That is true, and that is mainly due to the fact that we had these very high power costs. If you use power costs which we have in our contract for the next 5 years, then that ratio is completely different than what it actually was in the last 3 or 4 years.
Okay, and as far as the capital needed, if you should win this contract, which you commented just now with Brian, do you have the wherewithal to implement them? Do you have an idea of what, I'm sure you do, on CapEx that you're going to need and over what period of time and who's going to supply those funds and how you're going to get the funds?
Yeah, we have started discussions with Chilean banks about that, and there seems to be quite some interest in funding such an investment. At this stage, we are very positive that we could finance that investment
without the need for raising equity at this point?
That was what we discussed with the banks, where we told them that we have got assets which have a value of $200 to $300 million, and that's our security for a loan which they would give for this additional expansion. And they didn't say no to that.
Okay, and this expansion, you know, how long would it take if you do get a contract with Codelco sometime later this year? How much longer would it take to get the equipment in place and increase the production? Would it take another year after that, or?
Yeah, we would increase production after about a year, not to the full level where we eventually want to get, but there would be an incremental increase in within a year. Yes.
Okay. After spending how much money? So in other words, you have to spend $50 million or $100 million. What kind of number?
Well, we have been giving guidance in the past that we think it would cost us somewhere between $100 and $150 million.
That's in 1 year or over a series of years?
No, that would take us 2 years.
Over 2 years, okay. And so you're gonna, yeah, you did mention in the past that you'd have a stair-step increase in production.
Right.
As far as profit margins, I know that your margins are going to expand because of the lower electric cost. Is there anything else? Is there any efficiencies that you've learned? You know, obviously we all learn from trial and error and from, you know, engineering and tweaking the system. Is there any improvement that we could get more production out of the current setup?
Well, I think the main point is that the tailings in this new tailings pond, Kaukenus, they are somehow different from the ones in Kolivus, and perhaps Rob can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure, Anthony. You know, we've seen a steady increase year on year on our Kolivus efficiency. You know, we're getting better and better at mining it. We're understanding the deposit a lot more. So consequently, we've seen, you know, over the last 3 years, a big increase in the copper production from historic tails. With Kaukenus, we believe we can further, you know, add on those efficiencies and, you know, get additional margin from Kaukenus over and above what we're getting on Kolivus. So yes, we do believe we can carry on improving with our ability to extract historic tails.
I think one important point, Rob, certainly is, you know, in the context of our discussion of power cost and so on, is that the grinding necessity in Kaukenus is significantly less than in Kolivus. So that will also contribute to the efficiency and to lowering cost.
Correct.
Good. All right. That's all I have for you today. Thanks.
Thank you. The following question is from Bob McCleary of Muscatine, Iowa. Please go ahead.
Hello. I'm a relatively new shareholder. And matter of fact, I was a couple of years ago, and various reasons I had to sell, and I'm back in as of the last few months. And just had a general question, since we are, for all facts and purposes, 2 months into this new quarter. What's your ballpark estimate for earnings and revenues for this quarter so far?
No, we don't have that at this point.
Okay, improvements?
Well, the only thing which we mentioned is that, you know, our power costs are significantly lower than in 2012. And just to give you, in terms of numbers, our power costs per month in 2012 were sort of between $4 and $5 million. And our power costs, this year will be sort of in the $2 to $2.5 million range.
Significant. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The following question is from James Tang of Las Vegas. Please go ahead.
Hi. So in terms of the ore softness, you historically got it to about 5
to 6 kilowatt hours per pound, but I guess historically we've been seeing more like mid-fours, mid-fives. Can you talk about how that will be going forward for ColiQuest and for Calquetes?
Yeah, thanks, James. For ColiQuest, we've got 10 years of operating experience behind us there, and five, between four and five is certainly the number we are expecting from ColiQuest. The Carcanus deposit was essentially, put down by El Teniente 50 years earlier than ColiQuest. It was put down between 1935 and 1977. And the fineness of grind in Carcanus is, it's finer than it is at ColiQuest. So the grinding requirements would be less. I don't have a number in kilowatt hours per pound, but it would be less than ColiQuest. So that's what we're expecting.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. And the following question is from John Pulcari of New York. Please go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen. If you get approval for the expansion, you had talked in the past about doing it in stages. Is it now all one multi-year project?
No, it's still sort of staging. It's a different staging than we were talking in the past. One of the big things which we discovered, and what we just talked about, namely the grinding requirements for Cauquenes, that led us to a plan where we will not need an additional power line, which we needed in our original plan, and that was also part of that staging, because that would have been in the later stage where we would have added the additional power line and then a further increase of production. That is now not required. So we will be fine with our existing power infrastructure, and that changed the whole sort of scheduling
right. Of
the investment over the 2 years.
Klaus, would it be appropriate then to say that the production would ramp up in stages as opposed to one large increase at the completion of the CapEx project?
Yep, that's right. That's right.
And in terms of both the royalties and the power costs, the royalty agreement, whether it's changed or not, whatever it is, it would apply to the entire program, existing and future expansion?
Yes. Right.
It would be the same for all production, correct?
Yeah.
And the power costs, which are currently fixed for the next 5 years, I believe there's enough power for the existing production of approximately 50 million pounds. Any incremental step up, would the power contract cover that also? Would that require a separate contract, an expansion of the existing contract, or would that go to a more variable rate power contract?
Right. We would need additional power.
Right.
In our existing power infrastructure, we could cover it, but we need additional power. And that power would come because the power companies are not willing at this point to enter into fixed price contracts. So that would come on the basis of marginal cost. For that reason, we have started a program where we are looking for small non-conventional power sources, power projects, which are on the drawing board or in the well, more than drawing board, which are ready to go, but they require a long-term power delivery contract, and in order to finance these projects, they are wind and solar projects, and we are looking into that, and we think that we could get contracts in the range of 10 to 12 cents, so not much different from our present fixed price. And if that is the case, then we could cover these additional power needs with such contracts.
And lastly, the transmission requirements for that incremental power would require some capital expenditures. Is that in the
No, it would not. It would not. These additional power projects, they would not feed the power into our plant. They would sell the power at marginal cost into the grid. But we would then, because we have bought that power at a fixed price, we would then make the margin, and that would reduce the marginal cost which we are paying to the big power company for the additional power we need for volcanoes. It would be a credit to that, and in the same way as our present power plant, if and when it operates, when the marginal costs are very high, then that is a credit to our power cost. For instance, right now, in the last few days, power costs have exploded again to something like 23 cents per kilowatt hour. So our generators are working and making some money, and that will be a credit to our power costs, which on the other hand are fixed. So we are not paying 23 cents, but we are paying 10 cents.
And that incremental, that margin that you're making by running the generators would, it sounds like, am I correct in saying that would lower the actual delivered cost below below the fixed cost?
That's right.
So without, you don't need the generators at this stage to continue any ongoing business. You're running the generators really as a separate power
source.
Yeah,
that's right. Exactly.
Okay. And the margin on that, I think the diesel, with diesel fuel going up also, you were producing power for, what, 15 or 16 cents?
Oh, about 18 cents.
Okay. And selling it, at, obviously, as you said, into the grid as of the last few days at 23, perhaps.
Right. Well, we only run them when the marginal cost is higher than our cost.
Right. And nominal as it may be, it's still another source of revenue.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. The following question is from Jack Black of Toronto. Please go ahead.
Actually, my question regarding the power was answered quite well on the by the last caller.
Okay.
Did you have any further questions?
No, I'm okay, thanks.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. And we do have a question from Anthony Cantone of Tintin Fold. Please go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to ask a little bit more about the generators. You spent quite a bit of money on those generators. I know you're trying to get a little bit of payback by selling the power to the power company, but has that been a good venture, or what do you plan to do with these generators? Can you get your money out of them? Can you sell them? What's the alternatives?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we have talked about the generators in the past, and I don't think, you know, it was sort of everything, you know, it certainly didn't make us happy what happened with the generators at the time. But I mean, that's behind us. And yes, we spent a good amount of money. But, you know, for instance, last year, the generators produced about $2.4 million in earnings. So, I mean, $5 million would have been better, but you know, it's not too bad. Now, you know, as you just heard, marginal costs have gone significantly up again, and at a time where you would not expect them to go that far up. So who knows what the year will bring us. I mean, Chile has been very hot over the last 1 or 2 months, so you had very high snow melt, and that kept electricity prices relatively low, but it seems that, you know, in many parts, most of the snow has melted, and so now, you know, we'll see the opposite. We'll see very, very low water coming into the reservoirs, and that could mean that power costs will be, marginal power costs from the grid will be very high, and that should give us good benefit in the generators.
Could you comment a little bit about the pilot plant? What have you learned from the pilot? Because that was the whole purpose of putting that pilot plant there, is to learn something about the material at that new pond.
Right, right. Well, I think Rob should comment on this. We learned a lot, and I think it has given us the result that we can do the processing with an easier process than what we originally envisaged with costs which are significantly lower. But Rob can go into that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Anthony, the Calcanus deposit mainly has secondary sulfide copper minerals, which are, you know, leachable with sulfuric acid. So the pilot plant set out to you know, determine the recoveries and costs associated with leaching this material. And what we find out that it's technically feasible but very expensive. An alternate process for these secondary copper minerals is flotation with the addition of some specialized reagents to, you know, improve the flotation of these secondary copper mineral species. And what we've found is that, you know, recovery is okay and costs are significantly lower using a flotation rather than a leaching process. So the feasibility study has proceeded on a flotation process rather than a leaching process. So, you know, the pilot plant was very important in telling us that the technology for leaching was going to be very expensive, and there were better alternatives out there.
That was a worthwhile lesson.
And I may just add, and it was important to have the pilot plant in the size which we built it, because it was a typical, like you have that in many, many metallurgical processes, it was a typical scale up problem, and if we would only have judged the process on the basis of laboratory tests, it would have been perfect, and then in reality it would not have worked. So the size was a very important factor in determining that this process, which we originally wanted to use, was just too complicated and too expensive.
Good. So that should help streamline operations going forward then.
Right,
absolutely.
Good. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I'd like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Kuda.
Thank you very much, operator. Thank you, everyone, for attending our call, and we look forward to talking to you again after our Q1 results are released later this spring. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation.